Helander. Actually, never mind. I'm not gonna ask you about it yet. Never mind. Hold on. I want to make sure we do it for the show.
Okay. Yeah. Don't ruin it. No chit chat. In fact, we should have a no chit chat rule.
Well, the chit chat warms us up. Like sometimes we do the show and no one says anything if we don't do chit chat. Everyone just sits there, scratches their.
I don't know about that.
It's not good radio. Good TV, not good radio.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Zarephone Elijah. I'm your host. I'm back with my team of Apple experts. Well, Apple enthusiasts. Leander Caney is here. We got Alex Heath, arguably yep. Our most important member of the team.
Definitely. And everybody's sending in the fan art.
Worthy of fan art. And Beardster Heine is here as well. Beardster?
Hello.
And speaking of fan art, let's just start with that because I wanted to mention, I don't know if anyone saw our amazing fan art that Matthew Roz Hall sent to us. Matthew is an iPod artist. He's an iPad artist. So he created that entire thing on the iPad, which is amazing. And we were kind of going back and forth about what we were going to do and like the ideas. And then he gave us our artwork. And it's pretty awesome. Leander, what are your thoughts on it?
I thought it was disturbing and horrible. I wish I'd never seen it.
Was it the fact that you looked like a child again or that you were sitting on my lap?
First on your knee and you dressed as some demonic Santa. Very weird. What kind of twist of imagination is that?
Thought it was awesome.
Well, the idea of it was actually mine.
Oh, really? There you go.
But of course, Matthew brought it to light. So I do want to thank Matthew for making that. It took up a ton of time. So check out his website. It's Rozhall, Rozhall.com. And actually, he does commission work. So if you want to get something made for yourself, maybe you want a creepy photo of your wife. Who knows? There's so many possibilities. I'm sure he does non-creepy stuff too. Check out his website. And he's at Rozhall, Rozhall, on Twitter if you want to follow him. And I would because he's got some really cool artwork that he does. He's really talented. Thank you, Matthew. Before we go any further, I also want to mention we got a new sponsor.
Woohoo!
We're being sponsored by CrashPlan, the automatic offsite data backup for your Mac or PC. And actually, I actually use CrashPlan. I've been giving them my $5 a month for almost a year now. So it'll be cool because I can tell you from experience what it's like to use their service and why, if you don't already back up your computer, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. I just got serious about it myself.
Did you really? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. good. If you're not serious about it now, when your computer crashes, you're going to get serious really fast.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you need to be doing that. What's that?
Why should I use CrashPlan over, like, say, Time Machine?
Well, I'm going to tell you that in the middle of the show when I tell you all about them. Because that's actually that was actually one of the things I wanted to talk about because I use Time Machine.
Right. Anyway, we'll save it.
Yeah. So anyway, you can, if you want to check them out, go to CrashPlan.com. You can sign up for a free trial and it doesn't cost you anything. And that's actually how I got started with CrashPlan. And then once I used it, I decided to start giving them my hard-earned money. Another quick announcement. We are going to be at CES 2013. We're going to be doing a greet up. Almost the entire team is there. Alex, you're not going to be there, which is going to be sad.
That's good.
You'll be with us in spirit, though. You drink too much anyway, and it would be embarrassing for our team.
Yeah.
Because you just walk around drunk constantly.
No one could top Leander, but...
Well, yeah, but Leander's used to being drunk 24/7. He's got a lot of kids.
Let's be honest. Yeah, Leander's going to win.
You wouldn't even be able to tell that Leander's drinking. He has special equipment that he's fashioned himself, so you can't tell. There's alcohol hidden on his person at all times. We're going to be announcing where we'll be doing the greet up. We're not sure yet. Probably someplace prestigious. You know, they're probably going to like open up a special room in the Venetian for us.
Like
we don't know. What's that?
Like a Denny's?
maybe the Denny's on the Strip. Yeah, I heard said we could use their bathroom for our greet up. So you'll have to line up single file to get in one at a time, and we'll be in the stalls in the back. Hey, this was really fun. So I always encourage people to post and ask questions on our Facebook page. So I got a comment and a question I want to talk about. This one comes from, oh, actually, and if you want to do that, go to facebook.com/thecultcast. This one comes from Myrna Christensen. If you're listening, Myrna, hi. First cool fact, she's a woman. Because I didn't think we had any of those listening to the show, but apparently we have a few out there. But you guys are going to like this. She said, I was compelled to write you because in one of your podcasts, you made a remark after one of you cussed. It was probably Leander. In fact, I think I remember this. Mm-hmm. About how there probably weren't any soccer moms with two-year-olds listening. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
She thought this was funny. She said, I had to raise my hand and let you know that I was actually listening to you in the car with my two-year-old. And I am a soccer mom. So, Leander... Keep that in mind.
You can't blame me. It was probably John Brownlee.
95% chance it was you. Yeah. Uh-uh. If John Brownlee was on, it was definitely him. In fact, it may have been him. So he's your only competition. But she says, I've been listening to you since day one. Wow. I am an Apple geek, and nobody understands me over here. We hear that. And it's great to hear a relatable conversation. Keep them coming. You guys do a great job, XOXO.
Oh, Myrna. I thought she said she was a soccer mom.
Well, she didn't say she was married, though.
Okay, all right, I'll take it.
Hey, Myrna, number one fan. Yeah, tweet me. this is actually a comment / topic from Eric Sarnstrom, and he left this on our Facebook page. This is actually great, and I wanted to ask you guys about this, but we've never been able to work it into the show. But since it's the end of the year, there's no great topics to talk about anyway, so this is a good time to ask it. He says, you guys should talk about Apple refurbished products. Many people don't know about them and the warranties that come with them. Do any of you have any experience with Apple refurbished products? Anyone?
I do, yeah.
What do you got?
let's see. I bought a Mac Mini refurbished. Mm-hmm. I bought a Mac Air for a friend that's refurbished as well. But yeah, I mean, that's the best way. If you don't care about having the absolute newest Apple product, I would say that's the best way to get them because you can get the refurbished. I think you can still get your education discount with it too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's pretty sweet because it's, you know, at least $100 usually off of a product, and it's still got the same warranty. Yeah. Still looks like new, you know.
Right. Yeah, I bought refurbished iPads. Mm-hmm. And, no problem.
What was that, Leander? You cut out a little bit. You said no problem?
Yeah, like Buster says, they're indistinguishable from new. Same warranty, same everything.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was going to say, too. I've actually purchased quite a few refurbished computers, like usually MacBooks. And if you're not looking at Mac at a refurbished Apple product, if you're buying that product mid-cycle, as in it didn't just come out, you're missing a big opportunity because they, like Leander said, full one-year warranty, exactly like a brand-new product. And what a lot of people don't know is they replace the entire shell, especially of the iPad. So they are literally brand-new, and they always replace the battery as well. So you're literally getting a brand new product, except for maybe the electronics, which could be a few weeks old, and you're getting a 1 year warranty. And I've saved quite a bit of money doing this. I mean, you usually save at least $100, like Buster said. On the iPads, you usually save a little bit less, but on like a nice MacBook Pro, you could easily save $200-$300.
Yeah, it's a great way to buy something.
Yeah, it really is. So if you haven't checked it out, check out the refurbished section on Apple's website. They kind of make the link to it small. They don't want everyone going over there and buying their Apple computers there. But
yeah, plus it's limited supply as well. So if
you're
checking back on it once a week, I think they update it every Monday night or Tuesday morning. I can't remember.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I bought my mom an iPad that was refurbished, and I think I paid like $330 for it. And this is a while ago. It was the first gen iPad, but at the time, that was a fantastic deal. Yeah. So, great question to Eric from Eric Sarnstrom. Thanks for bringing that up. And if you want to ask us a question or leave a comment, do it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Guys, let's talk about Instagram.
Let's talk about Instagram, man. I love Instagram.
I know. I love Instagram, too, and they've been getting themselves in trouble lately. So, Buster, do you actually want to, like, summarize what's been going on with them?
Well, they came out with some new terms of service recently that the language was – it kind of made a lot of people think that Instagram plans to sell your pictures to companies so that they can use them in advertisements and stuff like that. And it was actually huge news. I was really surprised, like even seeing it on CNN and just regular people on my Facebook page knew that, you know, Instagram wants to sell my pictures and people were threatening to quit. And then Instagram came out and said, no, that's, we don't have any intent to sell your pictures. But of course, you know, I didn't intend to smash your face in with a sledgehammer.
And this is why Buster's a felon.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've tried to smooth it over, but at the same time, they haven't updated the actual terms of service yet. So it's hard.
Oh, they haven't. Oh,
no, they said that they are. They're going to make it clear, but they haven't done it yet.
That's kind of the whole story. The new terms of service don't even go into effect until next month, so they have time to update them. This is all preliminary stuff. They were testing the waters with this new TLS, so they're going to be updating it constantly until in January 16th, I think.
13th.
But, yes. 13th. But like the whole thing with the selling their photos, Instagram doesn't have. They don't have ownership, creative ownership over the photos. What they could do, what they were trying to describe is something like if Budweiser wants to run a campaign, like a web campaign, and wants to use Instagram data, what right. Instagram could do is serve, you know, photos of, you know, people who have tagged themselves, you know, with Budweiser at a bar with Budweiser, and Budweiser could have like a gallery going of people that are enjoying Budweiser. And that's the kind of thing Instagram wants to do. It's not like we're going to take your latte art and sell it to, you know, somebody online for money for but your photo.
That's essentially what they're doing, though. What you just explained is
But you're also dealing, like, you're talking theoretically, Alex. You also don't have, they haven't said that specifically, that those are your plans. That's just other people surmising what they think the truth is behind it.
Well, what I think is ridiculous is that the new TOS actually got more specific with this update than it was before. Like, Instagram had the right to sell our photos years ago, like when we first joined. And actually what they did in the TOS this time is they actually made it more narrow what they could do with your photos, because before they had really broad language, like they could basically do anything and nobody noticed until they updated, and the update is actually more narrow than what it was before.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Let's just say that, you know, our greatest fears are true and Instagram really is going to be able to sell your photos. I mean, they may not be selling them, you know, as iStock Photo does, but let's say they're going to be doing what you said with Budweiser. Well, let's say this. You go to a hotel. You're there with your lady friend, and she has an apple bottom, so she's wearing a very revealing bathing suit, if you will. But stay with me.
I'm following.
And you tag yourself in this photo you take by the ocean side. And then the hotel goes to Instagram and says, you know, that is a lovely lady. We really appreciate her bathing suit and her apple bottom. We would like to use that photo on our website. And Instagram says, yes, you should do that if you pay us $5. They make the transaction. Your photo is available there. And all your friends get to see that picture that you thought was never going to be public, at least not that public. Would you be okay with that? Knowing that, would you still use Instagram?
You can make your Instagram private if you're worried about that. And
there's no way to opt out of it. Making it private doesn't makes it private to the public, but that doesn't mean Instagram.
But still public to the Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, the I'm Insta saying, gods. How is this any different than what Facebook does or what Google does? Or I just don't
exactly.
see
how Facebook's been. Facebook's been doing this for years.
Everybody's in fact,
it's the same company.
That's what I'm saying. How's this any different?
They're bringing it in line with Facebook's policies. And in fact, Facebook tried this 2 years ago, right? They tried to do they tried to roll out that advertising, exactly doing that. And it wasn't very. It was, you know, super unpopular. So they've pulled it back. But they're bringing the Instagram terms of service in line with Facebook's, you know, current terms of service. And of course, Facebook's always been dinged for it's very liberal or Facebook doesn't protect your privacy at all. I mean, it's exactly that, you know, it's against their interest to keep your stuff private. Everything is set so that you share as much as possible. People can see what you're doing as much as possible.
I mean, if I like something on Facebook, my profile picture can be in a little banner for that product on another website on another corner of the internet, and I have no control over it. I mean, Google reads your Gmail. Like, they scan Gmail messages. So, I mean, why are people – I just don't understand why this has been such a big deal.
Okay, well, this, I think what you're saying is different, though. I mean, they scan your Gmail messages to advertise to you more effectively.
What's the difference? Leander,
let's say you took a picture of your kid on Christmas after you'd given them a new North Face jacket. And then, you know, you see that picture of your kid on their website. Would you be okay with that? That's the difference.
Well, no, but I, you know, I'm not sure whether they, you know, I guess, you know, that it may lead to that. I don't think that is exactly what they're doing right now.
So you don't think that's what they're interested in?
Well, no, I think, you know, like when I sign in, you know, I said I'm interested in cycling, I'm interested in certain bands, I'm interested in photography. So when I log into Facebook, I see ads for cycling gear.
Right.
I see ads for photography gear, stuff like that. I think, you know, at the moment, that's what they're using it for. I mean, theoretically, I think that they could, you know, take it. Like I said, I think Facebook tried to do something very similar before where they put your face. You know, they said, oh, look, here's all your friends that like to drink kettle vodka. And it was creepy and weird, you know, because I think that they've experimented with this and they found that it's, you know, that it's not a good way to use people's data. And but I think what Alex said is probably closer to the current, you know, sort of state of the art, which, you know, Google's reading your Gmail, looking for keywords to see whether you're interested in, you know, certain things and then serving up those ads. And of course, you know, Congress is going to try to knock this down because of, you know, tracking, right? Do not track. Mm-hmm. They're tracking people online. They're getting cookies. They're seeing what they're searching for. You know, Google's already doing this a hell of a lot on the web. And there's a broad movement to sort of shut that down. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people, it's surprising that a lot of people don't know that the internet is a huge spying machine. And that everything you do is logged.
Yeah.
I like
but
that.
But I guess
that's
the
true.
Public's waking up to that.
Right. It's like you're getting all these services for free. And this is a larger conversation that we don't have time for today. But you get all this stuff for free on the internet, right? And I think people have just gotten used to the idea that everything should be free. But you guys have heard this before. Like, if you're not paying for a product, then you are the product, right? Like, that you are what they are selling.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're going to try and make money off you somehow. And I mean, you could try
to think that Instagram wouldn't monetize itself and eventually is ridiculous because, I mean, look at how, you know, how powerful it is and how many people are on it. I mean, people thought that it was just going to continue to be this free thing that had no ads or had no. I mean, it's just not the way Facebook has to do that to be a good business.
Especially when it got bought by Facebook. Facebook is an incredibly efficient spying machine. They know more about it's a
they know everything about you.
Everything. Where you live, your age, your sex, your interests, your friends, where you went to school. I mean, it's unbelievably perfect for marketing. It's a marketer's dream. This is the kind of stuff they've been looking for years. Yeah, you know, like the network TV cannot touch it. They have no idea who the hell you are, you know?
Or where you work or what your interests are. Yeah,
right.
It's just like
exactly.
A broad, you know, they just throw everything out there and hope that it works.
Yeah, this is unbelievably great for the marketing industry. And, they, you know, they're salivating over this kind of thing. This is why it is one of the world's most valuable companies.
Let's move on. We want to talk about... somebody who I think should have won Man of the Year, but didn't.
Me?
Tim Cook, y'all. It's me. I was so happy to see this. So Time Magazine listed Tim Cook as a runner-up for Person of the Year, and they copped out and chose the president.
God.
What a cop-out. He's already won before. How many times does he need to be Person of the Year? Give Tim a chance.
Yeah, the thing was, Steve never won Person of the Year.
Was he ever nominated? I think he was.
Yeah, last year they were talking about him pretty seriously for it, and then instead they nominated the protesters instead was the winners.
As Persons of the Year?
The group.
So dumb.
Yeah, it was stupid.
So, did anyone read the Time profile on him? Because I don't know why they selected him. Like, what was so special about Tim Cook in this year that made them think, oh, yeah, we should pick him?
Alex read it. I haven't got to it yet.
Alex?
I mean, because he's the CEO of the most valuable company in the world, and just because of all the products, I mean – it's crazy what Apple has managed to do in 2012 while also undergoing the executive shakeup that they have. So I really, although I agree with the way the profile kind of positioned itself was kind of like maybe 2013 will actually be Tim Cook's year. Like I think 2012 would be a little premature, because he hasn't even been really in office the entire year, and we haven't really seen the fruits of, you know, because Steve probably had a lot his hand over a lot of the stuff that came out.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, I think in the next year we're really going to see, okay, how does an Apple operate with new products and new problems under a new CEO? And so maybe something like this is more appropriate for later down the road.
I just got to say, I mean, and I think I've mentioned this before, you know, coming into the role that he did, you know, into the shadow of one of the most popular CEOs, I would argue, in world history. To be able to prop himself up the way he has, operate Apple the way he has, you know, speak the way he does, he's just done a phenomenal job. You know, I think I have a small crush on him. I've said that before.
It sounds like it.
Well, you know what? You guys are making fun of me, but guess who's going to be at his Thanksgiving dinner?
Not you.
Probably not me.
The editors of time.
Other important and political people. But you know, he may invite me someday, and he's gonna be like, "You want to bring a friend, y'all?" And I'll be like, "No, Tim, I'm coming by myself."
I don't have any friends.
You don't want to bring Al Caney? No, let Al Caney stay in his house by himself and sulk.
So who did actually read the profile?
I just looked at the picture.
Oh, Alex.
I just stood there and looked at the picture.
What was it going on about? Why did they choose him?
No, I mean it was basically just a profile of him. So it was like three pages, and it was, here's what he's done. It gave a little bit of the history, you know, him coming from IBM and Compaq, and then, you know, how the transition went with Steve, with him becoming CEO. And then they had an interview, but it wasn't anywhere near as in-depth as the Business Week.
Yeah, I skimmed it too. I mean, you know, I'm guessing they gave it to him just because he didn't screw it up.
Yeah.
And also they're trying to, you know, prop up their own brand, right? It's like they got to write about things that are popular to make their award more prestigious. Because it's like, what is the Time Magazine Person of the Year Award? What is it? Like, why are they the authority on who the person of the year is?
I mean, because they've been doing it for years.
Yeah, they've been doing it for decades. But exactly. It made sense because, you know, you put Apple in a headline and it's good traffic, and to have him as the runner up is a good idea, because then you get the Obama traffic and then you get him. So why not?
Exactly.
Come on, they don't pander to traffic like Colton Mack does.
We will literally put anything in a headline, even if it has nothing to do with the actual article itself.
Apple, Steve Jobs, iPhone 6.
Yeah. Rumor plans. Well, hey, guys, before we move on, because, you know, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show. We are doing an end of days faves and raves. So we're bringing in the end of the world with our favorite products of the year. We've got apps, we're going to have some hardware we've all selected, and we don't know what each other have selected, so we're going to be pitching those to each other, and then choosing a short list of things that we really like from the entire year. I'm excited to hear the things that you guys have on tap, and I'm sure most of Leander's things will be things that Alex picked several months ago. So that'll be entertaining. But before we do that, let's talk about Crash Plan. So Crash Plan is a new sponsor, as I mentioned. They are the backup that I use, and I'll tell you why. So I did a lot of research when I was looking for an online backup plan. And Crash Plan has a ton of really great features that I wasn't able to find anywhere else. So the obvious one, you can back up offsite into the internet, into the cloud. They have multiple data centers all over the world, so your data is safe, it's encrypted, and you have anytime, anywhere access to it right off the bat. But also, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is CrashPlan lets you back up to a hard drive. You could back up to a folder. You can even back up to another computer on your network, and that's actually what I do. So I back up to a PC, because the software works on PC and Mac, on my network to have a local copy of everything, and then I also upload that data to the cloud. And you might be like, Airfun, why are you being so paranoid? Because I have a lot of data I never want to lose. I have old episodes of the Cultcast. I have years and years of photos
baby pictures.
I have baby pictures of Buster and Leander that they don't know about. And there's just some gems I really don't want to lose access to. And if you think data loss isn't going to happen to you, you, my friends, are wrong.
Deluded, yeah. Well, that Matt Honan story from Wired.
Yes,
you know, what happened
it
to
will
him?
Happen to you eventually. I mean, mechanical hard drives fail, flash drives fail. It all fails eventually. And you're gonna lose something, and you are going to wish that you had backed stuff up. So I highly recommend it. And let me tell you why Time Machine isn't enough, Alex, since you asked.
Why?
I'll tell you, Chris. Because when you back up the Time Machine, you have to plug into a hard drive, right? So a lot of people, unless you are using an iMac, are not always plugged into a hard drive. So you get lazy and your backups aren't happening consistently. With CrashPlan, they are always happening. And you don't have to do anything. They just work themselves.
Oh, bazinga.
And more importantly, your Time Machine backup is local, which is fine, but what if your Time Machine hard drive fails? What if your house burns down? What if your house gets robbed? All your data is gone forever. So, with all that said...
Exactly happened to my neighbor just a couple of weeks ago. They had a backup in the house on a hard drive. Guess what burned? The computer and the backup.
Yes.
Wow. See, there you go. So I'm definitely not trying to sell you guys on this. This is something that I use, and I hope that I've educated you a little bit, because I do think it's important. And as I mentioned, CrashPlan is the one that I actually use. So check it out. Go to CrashPlan.com. They have a bunch of different plans. Some are less expensive than others, but mine is an unlimited plan. It's $5 a month. $5 a month for an unlimited data upload, and you can actually get it even cheaper if you pay for a whole year up front. I don't do that. I pay month to month. So check them out. And actually, would you please, if you use Twitter, tweet at them. They're at CrashPlan. Let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring our show. Helps us to keep the wheels churning, greasing up the pipes. I'm not sure what pipes there are to be greased, but they do that for us, and we appreciate it. So thank you, CrashPlan. You guys, let's do our end of days faves and raves. I'm sure you guys all have your items picked out and ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to be doing some different categories. We're going to be doing apps. These could be iOS or Mac apps, not games. These are apps that you love and use a lot. These are actually kind of tough for me to choose. We're going to do hardware. So these are accessories, cases, stuff that works with Mac, iPhone, iPads, bags, that type of thing. We're going to do iOS games. And then we're going to do a wild card. And this is just something that is one of your favorite items for the whole year. Doesn't have to have anything to do with Mac stuff. Alex, let's start with you. Can you give us your let's do a round table. So give us one. Keep it short, please. Keep it brief so we can make it through all these. Give us one iOS or Mac app. Go.
Okay, so just one, and then we're gonna go around.
Yep, and then we'll keep going around until everyone's
okay,
done too.
My first app choice is a handy little app I've been using on the Mac for quite a long while, but I just started using it more this year than I have in the past, called Alfred. And it's a really nice shortcut. I don't know if Quicksilver used to be what I used to launch apps and stuff quickly from my keyboard. So it, basically what Alfred does is it's the way better version of Quicksilver that has a ton more features. There's like a $15 power pack you can get, and it does everything from eject a disk that's attached to your Mac with one keystroke to control iTunes to just about anything. You can script it and make it open all kinds of tabs with one keystroke. It's really powerful. I use it all the time for work and just to open apps, and it'll change your workflow. It'll really make you it's the kind of app that when you go to a Mac that doesn't have it installed, you'll be
pull
really frustrated.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that a big learning curve though? Don't you have to
really? No, not at all. It's you install it, and it's you start from the basic. You know, you start with just launching apps, and then you can get into it a little bit more, and there's a version 2 coming out next year in January that I'm going to test and review, and really looking forward to that.
Okay.
But it's a really great app. I think it's getalfredapp.com.
There you go. Okay, that sounds good. Leander.
Okay, well, so I was looking through on my iPad and iPhone, and I got tons of apps, all these hundreds and hundreds of apps, because I'm always downloading and checking them out. But I'm like, I don't use any of these. So I double-clicked the bottom to see what was currently running. And apart from all the usual ones, the browsers and the email, Eat24, which is a an app for ordering delivery food.
I literally never heard of that, but I love that that's one of your favorite ones of the year.
824. It's absolutely awesome. You've got all these menus. You just check off what you want. You know, you once you put your payment information in, you just hit pay. The food grub shows up, you know. When,
and you literally don't have to move, right?
You don't have to call anyone up. You don't have to deal with some...
Leander, did you pick this like 2 months ago?
I did. I have talked about this in the past because I love this app.
Hey, that's okay. Yeah, that probably means that you actually use it.
I use it on a regular basis, yeah, and it's great. I really do like it. It's really, really convenient, and it's the best way to order, you know, delivery food, takeout food.
Okay, Buster?
Favorite Mac or iOS app?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's on both. Pocket. I use Pockets. All the time. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty simple, but, yeah, it's – probably one of the things that I like the most about having an iPad.
And what does Pocket do again?
Well, Pocket just, you know, it saves stories so that you can read them later.
Okay. I like how, see, did you like, see how brief Buster was? That was great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Too brief. I haven't got a clue what he's talking about. What?
I'm going to speak about mine for the next 10 minutes.
He can be brief because everyone knows what Pocket is already.
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, let me go and we can talk about that after the show. Mine's all actually right. Similar to Pocket. It's called Evernote, and I know you guys are like, Evernote's been around forever, but they just had a major update and it looks great. Evernote is an easy way to track documents, images across your Mac, your iPhone. It's like Pocket, except you can put notes in and stuff, and I use it to plan out the show. I use it to keep track of notes. For all sorts of things, and they have a little like icon that you can install or an extension in Safari or Chrome that lets you click a button and save a story instantly to Evernote. Fantastic app. It's free. There is a pro upgrade if you use it a lot, but that's my pick. Alex, what's your second?
My second pick is a blogging app for iOS called Poster. That app, it's an incredible app. It's on the iPhone and iPad. It's only a couple bucks, but it does so much, and it hooks into WordPress great. And I use it to I did a post on the iPad and published it and did all of it right there on the iPad for the first time last week, and it went really well. And I think our own Charlie uses Poster for his workflow. Yeah,
that's interesting.
But, it's a really slick, lightweight app that is actually really full-featured, and it even has stuff like Markdown support, and it integrates with WordPress, and it's great. I use it all the time.
Okay. Buster, let's go back to you.
So Mac or iOS?
Yep.
That's tough. I'll just use Snapseed. It's not new, but I still use it.
That's okay. Yeah, it's great.
A ton of the time for all my photos. And I like interacting with your photos on the iPad. I just feel like Snapseed is a cool way to edit your photos. Feels, you know, it's not like a dark room, but it brings like that physicality back to digital editing.
Okay. Leander?
All right. Well, you know, I've become a recent convert to the gym. I'm a gym bunny. So
yeah, you seem to always be there when we're supposed to be recording the show.
I just started running on a treadmill for the first time in 47 years and actually really liked it. So I started checking out Nike Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. The app is great. The website is great. I'm not really a numbers person because I don't like getting bad news. You know, like I don't weigh myself on a pair of scales because, you know, if you don't lose a pound a day, you know, then it's just like I find it's counterproductive. But the running stuff, you know, I guess because I've seen an improvement, you know, you get these really nice graphs and you can sort of see how fast you ran. You can see all the different sections of the run. I find it really, very motivating to actually look at that. And then, of course, it has a bunch of other features I haven't used yet, like tweeting out, sharing on Facebook, doing virtual runs with other
people.
Yeah,
make sure you start using that tweet feature a lot.
I'm so slow and it's so embarrassing. I really don't want to use that. Yeah, but I can definitely see that, you know, at some point in the future, I probably will start to boast about, you know, 3-minute miles and stuff like that.
3-minute miles. Wow. Okay. You have high goals. All right. Well, mine's the NPR app. I love NPR. This is on iPhone, iOS, obviously. And it's great. If you're a fan of NPR, as I am, you have access to all their streams, all their radio stations that play their content. You can access their shows. You can create playlists. Their iPad app is even better than their iPhone app, and I use it all the time. In fact, it's so great, and I use it so often that I became a contributing member to NPR. So now when they beg for money, I sit there content knowing that I've given them my shekels. My shekels. Sorry. Hey, no laugh required at that, guys. Let's just move on.
Well, yeah. We'll laugh if it's funny.
Yeah, well, I knew I'd get a laugh out of you somehow. Let's move on to hardware. You know what? I'll start because I've been making you guys start. So actually, let's just go ahead and talk about our two right off the bat. That way we keep it shorter. Mine is the Mophie Juice Pack Power Station. I talked about this in a recent episode. This thing is great. It's a little mobile battery pack that charges your iPhone or iPod. And it can do an iPad too, though it can't charge it all the way. And what's great about it is it looks really nice. It's really simple to use. But man, this thing charges my iPhone so fast. I don't know how it does it. Honestly, it charges it faster than the actual wall charger itself, which is what I love the most about it, is that it tops off my iPhone really quickly. The other thing is I've been reviewing a lot of Think Tank products. They create camera accessories that work with, like, you know, your SLR gear and your MacBook and all that stuff. And they sent me an Airport International rolling camera bag, which is basically a giant camera bag that fits all your gear and your Mac and fits in international carry-on compartments, domestic carry-on compartments. This thing, it's one of the best camera bags I have ever used, and it's my go-to bag to hold all my gear. I really love it. And check out Think Tank's website because they have all sorts of great products there. All right, Leander, let's go back to you. What you want to do, your two hardware things?
All right, well, mine are really predictable, I'm afraid, but the iPhone 5 and the iPad mini.
Okay, let's move on. Buster.
Okay, well, that's why I was going to like them.
No,
the iPhone
ahead.
5, mainly because of the battery life. The battery life is incredible on the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And it's much better than the iPhone 4S. In fact, it's an amazing. It's amazing that it does get the length of battery life it does. It's like twice as long as as Android phones. And the iPad mini, because it's the perfect form factor for the iPad.
The iPad mini really is great. Alex, let's move on to you.
Okay, so we're doing both of them together?
Yeah, go ahead and just do both of them.
Okay, my first one is pretty simple. The Apple EarPods that came out this year are really great. And because I used to buy really expensive earbuds, like Shure in-ear stuff that's like $200-$300, because I just care about sound quality, because Apple stuff was always terrible. And these EarPods they're not like top of the line, but they're good enough to where I don't feel like I need to have any of that stuff anymore. So I just pretty much rock the EarPods now. So EarPods are great, and they're only $30, so why not? And then my second choice is a backpack that I've been using called, well, it's from Kelty. It's a company called Kelty, K-E-L-T-Y. And it's the Windjammer, and they actually sent me the Windjammer, and then they sent me they have a 60th anniversary wing pack that's also a really good backpack. But it's a really cool. It can be used for computers, or it can be used for like backpacking or anything like that. But it's a really cool looking backpack that can also double as a kind of like a man satchel thing.
Man satchel.
And it's $125, but it's a great backpack, and it's really durable, and it's held up for me. So that's the Kelty Windjammer. So
okay. Buster.
I really like the Nike Plus Fuel Band. That thing's pretty sweet.
Everyone's working out.
What?
I feel left out. Everyone's working out.
You're not working out?
I mean, but not Nike. That's just serious business to me.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I just do it the old-fashioned way with iron.
That's weird.
Sorry, steroids. So Buster, Nike Plus.
Yeah, the Nike Plus Fuel Band, it's cool. I take it on like hikes and stuff like
that. Oh, Fuel Band, right.
It keeps track of all your calories, and it's kind of the same stuff Leander was talking about with the app, only you don't have to have your phone with you. You can just take your Fuel Band instead.
Does that one track your sleep as well?
It doesn't track your sleep. It's okay. Not. I think the Fitbit does, though.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I guess iPad Mini. I'm just gonna cop out. And say that.
Oh my God. That's it.
You can tell that Buster has picked these well ahead of the show.
Yeah. Right. Good preparation, Buster.
No, I mean, we're doing that advent calendar, and I can't think of anything because there wasn't anything in 2012 that was like, holy crap, this is awesome. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'll take that because I actually really want an iPad mini.
All right.
All right. Let's do iOS games. I was going to say two, but let's just do one. Let's just pick your top one. And I think that will be good enough. And then we can move on to the wild card. So, Alex, what's your top game of the year? I think I know what you're going to say.
You do?
Yeah.
Field Runners 2.
Oh, never mind. I was wrong.
Yeah. What did you think I was going to say?
I'll tell you what mine is, because I thought we were going to have the same one.
I think so I know ahead. What yours is going to be. Yeah. Mine was that one. My second one was that. yeah. Field Runners 2, awesome. Actually just got updated like yesterday for the iPhone 5, and it's got a bunch of holiday stuff, but they've been doing a really good job of keeping it updated on the iPad and the iPhone. But it's the sequel to the best tower defense game for iOS there is. What more could you ask for?
That game really is great.
It's fantastic.
Which one is that? The best
Field Runners 2?
Field Runners 2. It's I played Kingdom Rush 2, and I really enjoy Field Runners more than Kingdom
Rush. That's a great game, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kingdom Rush came out with a sequel?
No, but I'm saying I played both.
It as well? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm saying Field Runners 2 is just so much more fun to play to me. I don't know why, but it is.
Okay, that sounds great. Leander?
Well, I know I'm a sad. Oh my god, this is going to be really embarrassing. Kingdom Rush was my choice.
I like that
game.
No, that game is great. That was one of my favorites of the year too.
It's the only game I play. I hate every other game. Like, I downloaded a bunch of the other ones. The shooters, the running games, like Temple Run. My kids were playing that, so I tried to play it. Like, I lost interest in about 3 seconds. But Kingdom Rush kept my. And I was playing it, all summer, and I became obsessed with it. Obsessed. Trying to beat it, and then when I did, I totally lost interest.
Yeah. isn't that what happens once you beat a game?
Yeah. The thing about Field Runners is you can't really beat it because there's always other things to unlock, and there's always other challenges. So I would really recommend you to try that, Leander. I think you'll like it a lot.
Okay, all right, I'll do that.
Beerster?
Well, they took two games I really liked.
He's frantically scrolling through the icons on his iPhone right now.
No, I've had them open for like 5 minutes trying to figure this out. You know what? I'm going to choose NBA Jam. I think it came out last year.
Whoa, that's an iPhone game?
Yeah, it is an iPhone game.
I did not know that.
They haven't updated the rosters for this. I like basketball, and they haven't updated the rosters yet for this season, but... You know what? Whenever I'm bored, I will play a quick game of NBA Jam and get on fire and just dominate.
He's on fire! Okay, well, mine is Letterpress. Is that the one you thought I was going to say, Alex?
Yeah, that was my second.
What a great game Letterpress is. The design of it is amazing. I love the Game Center integration. And it's been a ton of fun playing with a lot of our listeners. I'm sure we probably got them playing it as well. And some of you have beat me, but for the most part, I whooped most of your arses, so that was cool.
I really enjoyed crushing Buster so hard.
Did you win against Buster?
Crush me.
I crushed him so hard, like every time. It wasn't even funny.
That's completely.
It only took you like 3 moves to win.
Yeah, it was.
Alex quit the game for a while because I beat him so bad.
No, that's definitely not what happened.
I quit the game. I haven't been playing it very much lately, so I apologize to all my games that have been, or all my people that have been waiting for me to play my turn, because I've actually been trying out a lot of different games.
It's kind of lost its appeal to me, honestly.
Yeah, that was my problem. Is I would get like 19 games going.
That was my problem.
It would just be so hard to keep up with everybody. You know?
That was my problem too. I mean, I had too many games going, and it's like everyone's taking their move. And, a move in Letterpress for me, I'm really competitive. It would take me 30 minutes maybe.
Yeah, no, I would take like 15 minutes each move.
I just started using Cheater Press, and I started getting really good.
No wonder you were winning.
Oh, yeah. You made people mad by publishing that how to cheat.
I made some other people mad because I published this big how to cheat at Letterpress guide on Cult of Mac. Look it up, how to cheat at Letterpress.
You're a jerk. No wonder I had people winning against me.
No, I was playing amazing words I didn't even know existed.
Honestly, some of the words that people were playing against me, I was thinking, like, there's no way you knew this was a word.
Yeah,
this there's cheater, no way. Well, you would never use this in a conversation.
This
I
cheater press
those people when they do crap like that. Like, they'll play like a 4-letter word and then bust out some like 11-character word that has like 3 consonants in a row. It's just
right.
BS word. You're like, okay, I know you're cheating now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what do you mean? You don't use oxymoronical in everyday language? I'm not even sure that's real.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is good. This is my favorite category. Let's move on to the wild card. This is just the one thing this year that you really loved. I've got one that I have just been fawning over. So, or as Mitt Romney would say, guffawing over. let's start with you, Leander. What's your favorite thing of the year?
My Sonos music system.
Oh, yeah.
It's a digital music system. You know, you control it with an iPad or iPhone or on your computer, and it pulls in music from all kinds of radio stations around the world and from your music library, iTunes Music Library, also Spotify. We use it to listen to the, you know, we use it every day. We use it to listen to the radio. The kids put music on at night. The thing is constantly in use, you know, much more than our television. And it's a super solid, really nice sounding and a great sort of digital music system, you know, system for the 21st century.
You do like the sound?
Yeah, I think the sound is great. I think, you know, I mean, it's not audiophile. I'm sure some snooty audiophiles would turn their noses up at it because they're small, you know, speaker cabinets with a couple of drivers in them. But yeah, I think the sound is great.
Cool.
Alex?
Mine is a Twitter account called Horse Ebooks.
Please do tell.
This is an amazing, if you don't follow Horse Ebooks, what is wrong with you? You shouldn't be on Twitter. This account has like 140,000 followers. It is horse_ebooks. Mm-hmm. And it's this like internet spam phenomenon because it's just a spam account because, you know, like there's Twitter spam accounts that push out a bunch of crap all the time, right? This thing started as that, and I guess it still is. But it like randomly chooses it's with some affiliate marketing company, and it randomly chooses keywords and puts them together and tweets them and without any links or anything else. And so like let me just there's no way to really I'm gonna have to
yeah read me a couple. I'm opening it up right now. Let's see, horse_ebooks.
So like a tweet from Horse Ebooks would be professional marriage counselors with advanced education in. And then it ends.
Guide, period, wholesale.
Or all capital, all your money problems forever. So you know that this is some really bad marketing campaign that's gone really awry. And so one of them is like, believe me, there are people. It's just like really random stuff. And it's just a good way to laugh, you know, when you're scrolling through your Twitter feed and you see something stupid.
All right, I'm following them. I'm following them.
Do it, yeah.
Oh man, we fell for their trick. See, now we're giving them free press.
I know.
I'm sending them an invoice.
They deserve it.
Anytime I say anything good about any company that's not a sponsor, I just send them an invoice. I'm still waiting for payments though from a lot of them. All right, Buster, your favorite thing of 2012, the last year in human history.
Oh, you know, I think the Sony NEX-7 camera.
I hate you.
I got it earlier this year, and I don't know. I've tried a couple of other cameras, like the Olympus OMD5, mm-hmm. which is also like a really good mirrorless camera. But I really love the Sony NEX-7, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably been my favorite thing that I've got this year.
You know, you know how Gollum gets over the ring, how he like wants to kill people for it. That's how I get with Buster when he talks about the NEX-7.
Like my precious.
It's just it's got this huge sensor, and it's actually pretty. It's like easy enough to use for even like an idiot like me who doesn't know photography well. Uh-huh. So
want.
Even my
there you go. If you're an idiot who doesn't know about photography, the NEX-7 is your camera.
Mm-hmm.
That should be their marketing slogan. All right, well, mine has nothing to do with any gadgets or anything. I'm choosing the Walking Dead series.
I just
started getting into this. Show? What's that?
I didn't know we could choose TV shows.
Yeah, I said anything. Oh, I was like, it could be a beard brush. I thought you were going to choose a beard brush, honestly, Buster. But you didn't. You missed an opportunity there. So I have been watching this series. It's on Netflix Instant for anyone who's a Netflix member. I'll be sending them an invoice for that plug. And it's great. It is probably in my top five television series ever.
This season's been really good.
Okay, well, hold on. Sucks. I haven't seen this season yet, so I stopped at season two.
You're basing this off season two. The show sucks for season two.
I liked season two. I liked season one and season two. I thought they were tremendous episodes. Everyone is so well-crafted. But here's my thing. I'm really big into post-apocalyptic movies. So, I mean, the mystique of the show and, like, what is going on or why are all these people coming back to life and – oh my gosh. you
it's
know,
not as good as friggin' Aliens.
Well, hey, dude, that hasn't been released yet. Otherwise, it would have been my pick of 2012.
Maybe 2013.
Yeah, maybe 2014. It depends on when they actually finish it. We don't know. But when that comes out, it's going straight to the top. So that's my pick. You know,
if I'm gonna pick like Vampire Diaries if I don't know we could have done TV.
Oh,
you guys should have read the email. I swear, none of you read the email, did you?
No. I did, but I kept it on topic.
Yeah, you did. But I specifically said a wild card could be one thing that you love. It could be anything. I said a movie, a beard brush, anything goes.
You said that?
Yeah, I specifically said that in the email.
Yeah, you did.
And I love that you guys didn't see it. So there you have it. That's our end of days faves and raves. I think we should keep this segment going every year. Leander.
Oh yeah, sure. And we have to put these. We have to put a list of these in the post as well.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. That's all the time that we have. I do want to mention that we are going to be putting out a new episode every week. We're not taking a break. Some people have asked if we're going to be breaking for Christmas. Or Kwanzaa, or whatever it is that you're celebrating. And we're not. We're going to be here. So we'll have a new episode for you.
Next week is the eggnog episode.
Yes. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Honestly, it's going to be so dead. Maybe we'll just have to talk about movies or something.
Ooh, I got a video we can talk about.
Maybe we should just have a wild card episode every year where we just talk about whatever we want.
Yeah.
What?
The best and worst movies.
That would be great.
Like Batman. Batman was so bad.
So next week is going to be our last episode of the end of the year episode, wild card episode. We'll talk about whatever we want. So make sure you tune in for that. It should be entertaining to say the least. Hey, if you want to talk with us on Twitter, you can do that. I am at Airfon. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Lander is L. Caney. Buster is BST3R. And by the way, my Twitter handle is spelled E-R-F-O-N. And you can also leave us questions and comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. I want to thank Crash Plan for sponsoring the show. Go check them out, crashplan.com, and please tweet at them. Thank them for sponsoring our show and helping us keep this, let's just call it, the best internet show on the internet running.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay, great. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next time. Can I get a bird sound, please? Somebody asked for it.
A bird sound?
Yeah, remember that bird sound that you did last episode?
No, I don't.
It sounded like you're like, I don't know,
strangling a
bird
chicken.
Going through a seizure.
Is it you're talking about the surfer dude voice?
Yes.
No. It sounds like a bird.
It was like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you. Somebody literally asked for you to do that on Twitter.
Welcome I don't to remember the podcast, who it was. Dude.
If there's one voice you have down, it's mine.
It's radical, bro.